Fantastic. Come on, let's give the band a hand. Great job. Awesome. Grab your seat. Turn the person next to you. Give them a big smile as big as mine. I was once in a meeting and a prophet came to town and pulled me out of the crowd and he said, you, the man with the face. No one else has got a face. I've got a face. Fantastic. Look, I just want to say on behalf of my wife and I, Franca, thank you so much for looking after our daughter over the last 18 months. And, you know, there's just been a wonderful depth that has just come into her life because of her time here at the church. And I really want to thank you for loving on her and caring for her. And you know, what I love about the kingdom of God is that we're all family. You know, we're family in different parts of Australia, different parts of the world. So give yourselves a great hand today. I've hired a four-wheel drive to pack all the stuff in. I've vacuum sealed everything. I've needed to vacuum seal upon the vacuum seal. I tell you what, man, that car's full. So anyway, so pray for us tomorrow that we actually make it home. You ready for the word tonight? Come on, let's pray. Father, I thank you for your presence. God, I thank you that you want to do great things in this place tonight. Come on, stretch out your hands right now. Holy Spirit, I pray you come and fill this place with your presence and your power. God, open heaven tonight in your wonderful, wonderful name. Thank you that your grace is here. Your presence is here. God, even before we came here, God, you came in here preparing a place for us. We honor you tonight. We worship you, Lord Jesus. Your wonderful name. Amen. See, what a touch of God, eh? It's awesome. I want to read to you out of Ecclesiastes. I don't know if you've ever read the book of Ecclesiastes. Some great challenging little scriptures in the book of Ecclesiastes. And there's a little passage here. You know, Ecclesiastes is one of the wisdom books. Who knows that every now and then we need a bit of wisdom? Come on, who knows in life it's not often black and white. You need wisdom. You need discernment on how to deal with issues and challenges and things in your own world. And so there's a little wise saying in here about standing firm, about being immovable, that despite the changes around you, despite living in a changing world, God wants you and I to stand firm. Come on, if you believe it, say amen. I think one of the greatest testimonies of your Christian faith is not only the stuff that comes out of your mouth, but the walk. The very fact that you can stand firm when things around you are falling apart. The fact that your faith stands firm. The fact that your convictions stand firm. The fact that you are committed with a great purpose, higher than anything else, that you can stand firm. This is a great passage about standing firm in challenging times. It's about not being rattled. It's not about being fazed. I think it's a great skill set that we don't live rattled, but we live confident in what God has called us to do. It's a powerful character trait to remain constant, to be remain focused and purposeful in your life, regardless of what life throws. It's amazing how people throw away their confidence when something comes in their world that they didn't expect. Yeah, the Bible says in the New Testament, don't throw away your confidence. Right? It's got a rich reward. It's incredibly valuable. Hold on to it. In the midst of a world that is increasingly inconfident about who they are and about what they represent. People are looking for a generation of godly people that are confident in who they are in the kingdom of God. Amen? And so I want to talk to you about that tonight. Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 4 makes this wonderful statement. It says, if a ruler's anger rises against you, do not leave your post. Calmness can lay great offenses to rest. Isn't that a great scripture? Right? If a ruler's anger rises against you, do not leave your post. Calmness lays great offense to rest. There's a great idea here about consistency. That with the ups and the downs of what life brings, the challenges that come your way, consistency is your greatest friend. You know, there are some days that it is all challenging. There are some things that you face that would challenge your personal consistency. You know, the word comes from the Latin meaning to stand firm or to still be standing. I love that, that I'm still standing. No matter what goes on in my world, no matter what challenges I face, I'm still standing. You know, I've often wondered about ministry life and what does it take to be successful as a minister? I've kind of just worked it out. It's very simply, be the last man standing. Just stay in there. Just hang in the game. Just don't pull the pin halfway through. Consistency is your greatest friend. This passage is telling us that when the situation changes, don't leave your post. If a ruler's anger rises against you, he says great offences. I want you to leave that passage up. He says great offences. Calmness can lay great offence to rest. Look what the writer does. The writer takes a highly emotive issue, an issue that would demand that you run the other way, an issue that would demand that you would be intimidated. You know, the word ruler is the word meaning governor, a man of great authority. The idea of rulers in biblical times had great authority. They had the power to declare life or death over people's lives. Think about it. If a ruler's anger rises against you, you could die. But the Bible says, don't leave your post. It's not just a physical place. He's talking about a value system that is higher than the circumstance that you're facing. It's a value system that is higher than the offences that will come into your world. I'm amazed at people that when they get offended, they leave their post. They leave their conviction. They leave the commitment. They leave the call. They leave the purpose that God has for their life. A value system that is tied to your post, not to the emotions around you. So that you won't shift when things shift around you. So that you won't be inconsistent. You won't fray. You won't break down when you face opposition. And this is the point. It's not that you've made him angry. He's angry. There's a situation that has come up that is completely out of your control. It is something that you have no control over. And the Bible says that even though the thing has changed, don't shift. Now the odds aren't in your favor. Now it's not going your way. Now things are coming against you. Now there are challenges that you face that you didn't expect. The Bible says don't leave your post. Stay where you are. I think one of the greatest challenges in life is just to stay. To hang in there. To stay for the long haul. The classic one of this is Elisha and Elijah. The most pivotal point in Elisha's life after walking with Elijah for many years. He comes to me, he says, what do you want from me? He said, I want the double portion. He goes, well, you've asked a hard thing. But if you hang around to the end, you'll get it. Right? It's the 2 Kings 2. It's this whole journey. You know, Elisha, stay at Gilgal. I'm not staying at Gilgal, I'm coming with you. You is my post. Elisha, stay at Bethel. I'm not staying at Bethel. I'm coming with you. My post is with you. Elisha, stay at Jericho. I'm not staying at Jericho. All these places were great places. They all mean certain powerful things in the Word of God. But it wasn't his post. His post was with the man of God. His mandate was with the man of God. Had he stayed in a different place, he would have forgotten the mandate, the purpose and the call. I want to give you four things quickly that will help you be consistent in an inconsistent world. What is the key to great consistency? What is the key to standing firm? Number one, leave it up there. He says, your post. He says, knowing what your post is. He says, stay at your post. It means the standing place, the place of habitation, the place of residence, the place where you reside, your values, your commitment, that place that makes you stand up. Stand tall, that place that gives you confidence, conviction, and purpose, your mandate, the reason why you were born, that inner fire, that sense of call, that purpose. Do you know why you've been put on this earth? Do you know why God has called you? Do you know why you exist? Do you know the reason why you are alive? Your flavor, your strength. I've been under a great many leaders. It's helped me find my voice. I don't want to be a carbon copy. I don't want to be a messenger without a message. I want to be the person that God has called me to be. With my flavor, my confidence, my style, my smile, my idiosyncrasies. I'm happy with my lane. I'm confident with God has asked. I can't do everything well, but I can do some things really well. And I'm quite comfortable with that. There are some things I am useless at, but there are other things I'm fantastic at. I think many times in life, you know, I'm reaching 50 years old, and I think one of the great things about not being younger, I'm still young, but not being younger is just having a confidence about who you are in Christ. If you go by what other people tell you who you should be, when the situation changes, you're going to leave your post. But when you get that inner conviction by the Holy Spirit, when there is a confidence that God has given you, when I ask you, do you have a post? Do you know what God has asked you to do? Do you have a mandate? Do you have a purpose? Do you understand in your own heart a conviction of what the Lord wants you to do? Your identity, your post? He says, number two, don't leave. What is the key to consistency? Very simply, don't leave. Don't leave. Just make a decision to stay in the game of faith. Make a decision to stay in that marriage. Make a decision to be present when your kids are around. Make a decision not to just, I was talking to a business guy just the other day, I was counseling him, and he was just incredibly wealthy, and last year just lost all of his wealth. And what he, because just the shame, and because he was a provider for his family, you know, he goes off for 6 or 7 weeks at a time out into the country to try and start another business. I said, why can't you start another business right in the heart of Melbourne? Well, because there's more opportunity. He was actually running away. I remember sitting down with him just last week, and he says, oh, I'm just going to give it up and going to give up my family. It's just not working. I said, your family love you. They don't care about the money. I said, you've only got one family. Stay in the game with your family. Don't leave your post as a father and as a husband. Just stay in there. Don't pull the pin. Sometimes all you've got is just to stay in there. The word means to withdraw. It's a natural idea to withdraw when the situation changes. You withdraw your dream. You withdraw your commitment. You withdraw your efforts. The word means to settle down, to settle. It's all changed, so I'm going to settle for second best. I went for this. I had a dream for this. But the situation has changed. The ruler is angry. I'm going to settle for second best. Young people, don't settle for second best. Don't go for second best. I thought that person was the one. I thought that job was the one. I thought that thing was the one. And you settle for second best because now it's changed. Don't leave your post. This is what God has asked me to do. This is what I got in my heart. I'm not going to shift. I'm not going to move around. I'm not going to settle for second best. There's an idea that the soldier just slumps in his post, slowly lets his standards drop, lets his character drop, just drops his post a little bit. It's amazing, you know, sometimes when you're dealing with challenges in church life, it can be easy just to lower the expectation, you know. People aren't coming on board. Things aren't going the way that they should. The world has changed. You just lower the expectation. And here he says, don't leave your post. Don't lower the expectation. Don't lower the character expectation. Don't lower the godly expectation. Don't lower the purpose expectation. He says, don't leave. Don't lower what God has put in your heart. The third one is this. He says, calmness lays great offense to rest. Church, I love that. The ruler is angry, yet he is calm. What's the key to great consistency? What's the key to not leaving your post? What's the key to being stable in an unstable world? Listen to this one. You decide what you allow to be projected into your soul. You make a decision that you will not carry someone else's offenses. You will not carry someone else's anger. You will not carry someone else's upsetness. You make a decision about what you carry into your soul. It's amazing that we live in a world that we get so angry about other people's anger. You know, look at it on Facebook. Everyone's so angry and nothing changes. I make a decision. The emotional ups and downs of life, I decide what I allow into my life. I decide the effects those things have on my emotional state. The anger, the passage is dealing with two emotional opposites, anger and calmness. The point is your calmness in the midst of an emotionally charged situation, your ability not to leave your post of clear thinking and purposeful actions is a great skill set. You know, if there's one thing that you deal with in church life is offences. You know, they're making laws now around the world that if you get offended, you can take someone to court. Come on. Offences. You know, it's funny, you know, we have a decent-sized church, and so there's a shopping centre where all our church hang out. And so I'll walk through the shopping centre, and sometimes people smile at me, but I don't recognise them, and so I won't smile back. And people get offended. So now I've just made a decision when I walk through the shopping centre just to smile at everyone. How you going? Great to see you. You're awesome. Was that a smile? Well, I'll take it as a smile. I walked into an Indian restaurant the other day, and there was a guy there, and I thought he was from a church. And I walked in and went, "Hey, how you going? We should catch up. See you next week." And he goes, "Yeah, no problem." And I walked out going, "I've never seen that guy before in my life. He doesn't even go to my church." We live in a world where people get offended at the most ridiculous things. And I've just realized that calmness is a great asset in the midst of anger. It's good to remind yourself when you're dealing with challenging issues. You say, "You know what? I'm not going to allow that issue to be projected into my soul." The final one is this, and then we'll pray. He says, "You, if a ruler's anger rises against you," in this passage, he's making it personal. He's talking to you and I, right? It's a direct instruction. It's a help in time of trouble. The wisdom books are a challenge to you and I because they challenge us to look inward, right? Many times we think about influence as looking outward. But often you've got to look inward first before you can look outward, right? Great breakthroughs begin inward. I think that's one of the great powers of the Christian faith. The world says change the environment, the man will change. Christianity says change the man on the inside and the environment will change. Change it on here and everything else changes, right? And so he's talking about you. Someone once said to me, "You want to know what the greatest gift of leadership is? The greatest gift of leadership you can ever give yourself is self-awareness." Self-awareness. This passage is a test that when you are tested, don't move. Be immovable. Let's just quickly talk about the test. Who's ever gone through a test? 5 people. There's the thing about the test that you and I often don't look at, right? So we talk about the test, you know, producing character and developing us and challenging us. But there's a thing in the test that we don't often look at. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 talks about Jesus being tested in the wilderness. And the heading of this in many of the Bibles, many of the Gospels says, you know, Matthew 4 verse 1, in a number of them says, Jesus is tested in the wilderness. It's the heading. The Bible says, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. The Bible speaks many times about us going through tests, right? The Bible speaks a lot about testing. Luke 8 verse 13, those on rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe it for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. Right, Acts 20 verse 19, I serve the Lord with great humility and with tears and in the midst of severe testing by the plots of my Jewish opponents. Right, Hebrews 3 verse 8, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion during the time of testing in the wilderness. Right, these times God could have just described as difficult times, but he talks of these times about as times of testing. So testing has the idea of development, has the idea of purpose, direction. There's a reason for it, a mechanism, a trigger point where God does something deeper in our lives. You know, testing is not there for some non-purposeful event. There's a reason why you and I get tested. Testing is a mechanism that God uses in a number of areas of our life. But there's something as well that the testing does, and that it reveals something in you. The Hebrew word for the word testing means the trial of a man's fidelity, integrity, virtue, and consistency. The trial of a man's fidelity, integrity, virtue, and consistency. A trial of not what needs to be there, a trial of what is already there. Not a trial of what is lacking, a trial of what is already there. The dictionary of the test means a small vessel carrying precious metals. The quality of the metal, by putting it in the pot, melting it, you get to see what's actually in the metal. So the pot is the environment for the precious metal to be tested. It reminds me of this passage, we carry this treasure in earthen vessel. The vessel is the environment that is used to test the metal. And so the test basically answers the question, what's in your life? What are you carrying? What junk is in there that can only be shown by the test? Right? The testing of Jesus didn't produce character, it revealed his character. Right? So Jesus was tested in the wilderness, but not because he was lacking, not because there was something there that he didn't have. Of Jesus going through the wilderness, being tempted by the devil, it was to show you and I, to reveal to us that he was the Son of God, to show us that he was pure in all of the temptations, that he could overcome every single one of them, that he was not lacking, that he was not fractured, that he was not a man full of sin who had weakness in certain areas, but it revealed a purity and a wholeness of character. So the testing reveals to us what is actually in our lives. The testing doesn't make the metal, doesn't produce the metal, it shows the metal. There's a revealing nature of the test. It shows something in us. It shows what is on the inside. Every time I ask people to rise to another level, it's a test. What's in you? Every time you get asked by your boss to step up to another level, what's in you? Every time you get offended, what's in you? Every time someone hurts you, what's in you? Every time something doesn't go your way and all of a sudden your faith is tested, it's not that you don't have faith, it's how strong is your faith? I don't know about you, but the tests that I've gone through have revealed more about myself and the areas and the weaknesses that I need to work on more than anything else. If anything, they've gone, I thought I was okay in that area. I guess I'm not. I guess I need to work a little bit harder. Calmness lays great offense to rest. Let's put that scripture up again and then we'll finish. If a ruler's anger rises against you, don't leave your post. Calmness can lay great offense to rest. You and I have been called to be immovable in a world that is moving all the time. immovable in our character, immovable in our passion, immovable in our commitments, to be stable and strong, to be confident in a world that is becoming increasingly inconfident. An identity that we have in Jesus Christ that is not marred by other people, that is not marred by where the world is going, but I've got my identity in Christ. Jesus Christ never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So I'm confident when I get my identity in him, he's not going to turn around the next day and go, you know what? No, 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 sorry, I was wrong. You're not that, you're actually that. Oh, I thought you were that, but you're actually that. He gives me a platform and a confidence to move forward because I found my identity in him. Your post. Do you know what your post is tonight? Do you know what God has asked you to do? We're going to pray for people tonight. Right? This is the altar call. I want the band to come. I haven't preached long tonight. Is what I really feel tonight. Believe the Holy Spirit wants to speak to people tonight. Believe God wants to touch people tonight. Believe God wants to do something supernatural tonight. Really believe it tonight, God wants to release people in the mandate that he has for their lives. He wants to release them in the mandate. Just release you in the mandate that he has for your life. Maybe tonight you go, I don't know what my mandate is. I'm going to pray for you tonight that God will begin to illuminate his purpose and his direction for your life. Release people in what God has for you and I. There are other people here tonight and God wants you to stand firm. And even tonight he's saying to you, come on. Don't allow your life to be shifted by other people's opinions. Don't allow your life to be shifted by the changing opinions of this world. Be confident what I've called you to do. If some of you here tonight, you've allowed the offenses of other people to come into your own world. And God is saying, come on, you make a decision what you project into your soul. You know, I've realized this is the Holy Spirit is a wonderful oil that just floods my soul. When I get anxious, when I get concerned, when I get worried, when I get angry on behalf of other people that it's not right, allow the Holy Spirit just to realign me back into his purpose and his line. I want you to stand here.